The NFL selects Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The NFL draft gets underway in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited.
Right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The week of the draft.
I just hope it doesn't make us look bad. That's all.
We need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency.
Next thing you know, you have another guy that you feel awesome about.
The Packers are one of the toughest teams to nail down in the first round.
The depth of this class outshines the star power of this class.
Mikel Williams.
Finished immediately and slung down by Mikel Williams.
Maxwell Hairston, the corner from Kentucky.
Throws down the middle of the field. Maxwell Hairston, big time pick.
There were plenty of spots you couldn't put Shamar Stewart. Teams want to roll the dice on talent.
Down he goes. Shamar Stewart on the sack.
In terms of Emeka Abuka, a professional receiver.
Caught in stride, Abuka, touchdown.
And we'll look at the focus and concentration.
Wow. I am a huge Hunter Waller fan. Any safety who hits like that, I'm going to be a fan of you.
Hit, dropped, and guess who made the lip is Hunter Waller.
So Green Bay, you're on the clock.
Welcome to my house.
I just don't know exactly what they feel like they need the most right now.
If they're not better this year, there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
I think they're one marquee player away.
With the 23rd pick.
They needed receivers in the first round and not done
this
it.
Has to be the most important draft of Brian Gutekunst's tenure.
Yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships.
The Green Bay Packers select.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yeah, away we go on a Monday. ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, the takeover. Mr. Irrelevant crew with you on this Monday, April 21st, day one of NFL Draft Week, right behind me here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's crazy it is here already. It's crazy. Flew by. I'm Alex Strofe with you. Joshy DiMaggio will join me throughout from the Gruber offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn holding it down, as always, at the Everlight Solar Studio in Madison. What a week, what a time. I mean, it is nuts up here. If you were with us just a moment ago when I joined Gabe Neitzel and Jesse Nelson on Wilde and Tausch, I was trying to set the scene, and it's hard to do because we are in Ashwaubenon, right? Ashwaubenon, Green Bay area. And it is just surrounded with fence line. So we are just off Oneida Street, you know, right next to Lot 1, the main parking lot at Lambeau Field. And everything is fenced in. Oneida Street is cut off. Lombardi Avenue is cut off on the other side of the stadium with fence lines. You can see the stage. It's coming together. But really, you know, obviously, as they put the finishing touches on everything going on here in Green Bay, it's chaotic in a good way. Good chaos, because this is going to be the epicenter of sports for the next couple of nights. Obviously, when things really get going on Thursday with the first round, the second and third round Friday, and then the fourth through seventh rounds on Saturday. Visit Green Bay, the tourism committee or whatever you call it here in Green Bay. An estimated 250,000 to 300,000 visitors expected here in Green Bay in the course of the next week, which is about half of what Detroit got last year. But let's keep in mind, Green Bay is the smallest city in terms of population in all of American sports of the big four leagues. Green Bay is the smallest market. The population here in Green Bay, just over 100,000. And they are expecting three times the population over the course of those 3 days later in the week. So it is going to be a zoo in a good way. I mean these all as compliments. It's going to be a zoo. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be an absolute party because, you know, if you've attended any game in the state of Wisconsin, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, Badgers, Marquette, it is always a party. Wisconsin knows how to throw down and party, and that's going to be on full display. Even, fingers crossed it doesn't, even if it is raining as it is projected right now later in the week, it is going to be awesome. So really cool. You know, I took a lap this morning, or at least what I could have of a lap around Lambeau Field this morning on my way to the Tundra Trio just to check it all out. And it seems like, you know, there's a very good game plan on what the draft experience will be. I think the big selling point, which I know Joshy and the Jen Gabe and Chewy crew have talked quite a bit, is like a tailgate village they are building, you know, just in lot one, maybe 100 or 200 yards from where I am right now. And that's going to be a great experience. You've got the NFL draft experience where, by the way, I think I will run a 40-yard dash later this week. Let's bring in Joshy DiMaggio and Tiny Ann Hunter Vaughns. As we get rolling here, it's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, which is presented by our friends at American Family Insurance. Insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance here on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN Wisconsin app. Joshy, you're coming up here Thursday. What are your expectations in terms of like the sights, the sounds, everything you expect to see as Green Bay prepares to host the biggest event in sports, the NFL draft? What are your expectations as we are a couple days out?
My expectations at this point are just to go have a good time. I don't know what to expect. I don't think anyone truly knows what to expect.
No, that's fair.
I am expecting to give myself significant extra travel time for all the things I do end up doing, just because the amount of shutdown and the influx of people being as high as it is, more than a Packers game by magnitude. So, yeah, I mean, it's just I'm looking forward to finding a way to get into that draft experience and kind of experience everything there. But it's just going to be I'm letting the weekend be the weekend. I don't have super high expectations for something that I don't think anyone can really predict how it's fully going to go until it happens.
Joshy, you are known to enjoy a libation or two. Is that fair?
Correct.
Are you coming up here to party? I know you're coming up here to work Thursday. You're going to do this time slot with me, 12 to 2 on Thursday, live from Green Bay. You're going to be here Friday, I think, right? Am I right on this?
Yes.
And then are you coming up Saturday to enjoy a libation or two, or are you just coming to work? Are you coming to party as well?
I'm coming to work. There are points in my schedule that I'll be able to enjoy the draft experience, but I won't be able to enjoy libations because I will be working thereafter. There are going to be probably no more than a couple hours of lulls where I'm able to, but it's work. But I'm excited because the draft is the thing I get most excited for. Put in the context, this is likely once in a lifetime, and we'll probably never see the draft come back to Green Bay because they move it all around. It's not the most ideal setting if we talk about markets and city sizes and all that. So I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to get some NFL, Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Field draft merch, things of that along those lines. And just, you know, let the weekend happen.
Have I told you what I've all purchased in terms of draft gear?
You're gonna make already? Fun
of me. Like, oh, dude. Yeah, so I'll get to that in a moment. So for those of you that aren't aware, Alex Stroh, Josh DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn with you. It is Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance, with you until 2 o'clock, leading into Kyle Bruston-Nortman later this afternoon. I'm live in Green Bay at the Tundra Trio. So I am a Green Bay native. I grew up in Green Bay. Went to Martin Elementary School, Edison Middle School on the east side of Green Bay. And so, you know, my first like real job was right up the street at Bay Park Square Mall. I worked at Lids, the hat store, you know, in high school. When I turned 15, I got a job there. You know, across the street at the Rest Center, I served a few years as the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Blizzard. Like, this is where I grew up. And so I was jacked when we got the news that the NFL draft was coming here. So, Joshy, already in my possession, which I assume I will mix in the wardrobe over the course of the next couple of days. My girlfriend bought me a NFL draft quarter zip. It says Lambeau Field on the side. Very nice of her. I bought a adjustable hat that says NFL Draft Green Bay on it. I bought a pint glass with the NFL Draft logo on it. I have a bottle opener on my keys with the NFL Draft logo and Green Bay on it. My mom just gave me an NFL Draft magnet for my fridge. I think that's all I have right now, but that would be five items for myself already. Now, is that bad luck or is that bad juju to buy it ahead of time?
No, I don't think so. I haven't been looking forward to, like, I didn't even know you could purchase things online. It does make sense that you would. It's why the NFL is so good at marketing itself and growing into the multi-billion-dollar industry that it is. But there's also something, it's like the concert t-shirt. A lot of times you can buy them ahead of time if you so choose. But there's something about getting it there that just makes it feel more pure to me.
That's probably fair. Like at a concert, right? You go up to the merch stand and you buy
it. Like, yeah, I imagine this isn't your last. You haven't purchased all you're going to end up purchasing yet.
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. You're probably right on that. All right. Good to be with you. Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. Joshy DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn, Alex Stroff hanging out with you. Lots I want to get into today. You know, I know there's been a lot of discussion, including on this program. If you are not familiar with us, we do this digital only. We do it on YouTube, Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 12:30 to 1:30, the three of us every single week. You can also find that in the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download today on your app store or wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. This is technically episode 241, so we've done this show for a while. But we've had this discussion about the idea of the Packers drafting a wide receiver in the first round this year. It feels more real this year than it has in past years. It just does, and I'll give you some evidence on that on the other side. But that would be the first time the Packers have done that in the first round since 2002. The commentary is all over the place when it comes to the idea of drafting a wide receiver in the first round. I want to dive into that conversation. Brian Gutekunst is currently at the podium, just up the street here at Lambeau Field. He is meeting with reporters for his annual pre-draft press conference. So between now and 2 o'clock, we will hear from Brian Gutekunst, the Packers general manager, some of the news and notes heading into draft week, and of course some offseason notes. I'm sure he'll talk about Jaire Alexander. He, of course, has some big, big things he needs to take care of, whether or not he will pick up the fifth year option on those two first-round picks from a couple of years ago in Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. I'm sure he will talk about that, amongst obviously the excitement and the buzz about having the draft here in Green Bay. So we will hear from Brian Gutekunst. Jason Wilde, I think, is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour right here, right next to me at the Tundra Trio in Green Bay. Given that he is working just a couple hundred yards away, I think our buddy Jason Wilde is going to carve out a few minutes to unpack Brian Gutekunst with us in the 1 o'clock hour, and plenty more still to come. Just to give you a heads up, if you want to get in the show, because we're going to dive into this wide receiver conversation coming up next, and I do want to hear from you on this, 844-770-3776. Again, that's 844-770-ESPN. That's your way in on the call line. If you text in, you can use the other number as well. You can use YouTube. You can tweet me at @Alex_Stroff. I want to get you into the show any way possible, because I know everybody, every Packers fan, has an opinion on the wide receiver in the first round discussion. We will dive into that coming up next. Will the Packers draft a wide receiver in the first round? I'm starting to think the answer is yes. We dive into it next. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance.
More Mr. Irrelevant coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Says she tired, little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20-inch blades like I'm Lil' Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor.
Yeah, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance. It's the Mr. Irrelevant crew with you every day this week from noon until 2, right here on ESPN Wisconsin and the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. You can also stream live video. Pretty good-looking backdrop for me today. Humble brag. As I am live in Green Bay at the Tundra Trio, you can see Lambeau Field behind me. Bill on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says, nice backdrop, Strophy. Jake on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, I'm locked in, Stroff. Turn me up. And Jerry says, excited to join you live on Draft Week. Excited to be with each and every one of you every day this week from noon until 2 as we count down to the draft, just 3 days away from round number one taking place right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Round one coming Thursday. The Packers hanging on to pick number 23 as it stands in the first round of the 2025 NFL Draft. And as we do every year, naturally, as Packers fans, we wonder, we project, we guess, who is it that the Packers are locked in on? Who are they looking at? Who's flying under the radar? Who could the Packers pull the trigger on at pick number 23? We've talked about it for weeks, now months, of the potential of an upgrade at wide receiver. And I'm not even talking specifically in regard to the draft. Let's think back to the beginning of free agency just over a month ago. We were the key stakeholders, the three of us, myself, Joshy DiMaggio, and Hunter Vaughn, we were the key stakeholders in the BBD campaign. Bring back Devontae. And then we flipped it once he signed with the Rams to the BIDK. I don't know, trend, I guess we could call it. Bring in DK Metcalf. That didn't happen either, right? So Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, did not go outside to bring in additional help at wide receiver. The Packers obviously will be without wide receiver Christian Watson, their best deep threat for a majority of this season due to his ACL tear suffered towards the end of the regular season. The Packers need help at that position. They're young. They led the league in drops last year, and they have a $55 million a year quarterback who could use some help on the outside. And with just Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, and Dontavian Wicks ready to go for the season opener coming in September, it's probably time to bring in some external help at that position. He didn't really do it in free agency, unless you count Mecole Hardman. So it seems like all eyes on the draft and the wide receiver position for the Green Bay Packers. Josh, he's been saying for months, and in the last few weeks I've come around to the idea that maybe this is finally the year, the first year since 2002 that the Packers pulled the trigger on a first-round wide receiver. Well, Joshy and I have some good backup in our camp all of a sudden. Jason Wilde joining Craig Karmazin yesterday on Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin saying this.
I saw our buddy Alex Strolf post this, how he's kept this dream alive since he was just a little toddler in diapers. But it was 2002 that they drafted Javon Walker in the first round, Mike Sherman trading up to take him. I think this is the year that the wide receiver drought in the first round comes to an end.
This is the year. Jason Wilde, on the beat for three decades just about, thinks the streak comes to an end. Joshy DiMaggio, you said it first, although Jason didn't give you your credit there, that you think this could be the year the Packers pulled the trigger on a wide receiver in the first round. Your reaction to hearing Jason Wilde side with me on Sunday Karma yesterday?
Yeah, I noticed the way you preambled that. You gave me initial credit, but then played Jason giving you credit and want to know how I feel about it. I feel glad, even though you're getting credit now, I can correct the record and say I was the first one out there to say there's a real chance the Packers bring in a wide receiver in the first round. But it is still giving me credit, even though he didn't say my name first, because we all know, all the loyal listeners to Mr. Irrelevant know, I was the one banging that drum really early in the process. And it's not like I was just sort of making that up. I was diagnosing using sort of the logic we had where the Packers were associated with DK Metcalf in which whatever way. It's hard to determine now where we are, what exactly went on there, but the Packers were connected to him. And then instantly they started bringing in, for their top 30 visits, they started bringing in first-round wide receivers. And to me, that was like a, well, no duh. They were in a conversation for a top-flight wide receiver, and then they're looking at the guys who we've known now for months are considered to be first-round picks with Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, Emeka Abuka. Like, all those guys have come in. So we know Goody doesn't waste those visits, and they're not really trying the classic subterfuge, as everyone likes to use that word. And
word.
I don't know how that word took off so much, but it gets said here a lot on ESPN Wisconsin. What they're doing is they're kind of tipping their hand to us in a way. It doesn't mean they're going to take one of those. They might have a guy they prefer more that they haven't had in, but they met at the Senior Bowl or met at one of these pro days, and we don't know about. But it does tell us they are doing their due diligence on those first-round guys, and we haven't seen them do that at the wide receiver position really as far back as these things have been tracked. There hasn't been that much effort put into that position the way it has been in this offseason.
Not at the top level. And to your point, right, what they have several things in common, but what these three guys have in common are three primary things. Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, and Christian Watson. Number one, obviously they are all a member of the Green Bay Packers wide receiving core, right? That is the obvious number one thing all three of those guys have in common. Number two is they were all pre-draft visits. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Dontavian Wicks all took top 30 visits with the Green Bay Packers. I guess you could throw Samori Toure in that camp too if you wanted to. He was also a pre-draft visit and a guy that was drafted by the Packers. But the final thing they all have in common is that they were not day one picks. They were either drafted on day two or day three of the NFL draft. So looking at the list of top 30 visits the Packers have taken with wide receivers, there are six of them. three of which are likely day two or three picks. That would be Isaiah Bond of Texas, Torrey Horton of Colorado State, and Ty Felton of Maryland. Those are all guys that will likely be there on late day two, or even those last two names I mentioned will be there on day three likely. And certainly the Packers could take a shot on one of those guys, because when Goody seemingly visits with wide receivers that are going to be there in rounds three, four, or five, he ultimately ends up drafting them. Think of Romeo Doubs. Think of Samori Toure. Think of Dontavian Wicks. But the other three wide receivers the Packers have visited with their top 30 visits, are first-round wide receivers or very early second-round wide receivers. The name we have all gotten to know very well is Tet McMillen out of Arizona. He's viewed as the best wide receiver in this draft, or the second-best wide receiver in this draft, depending on where you look. But Tet McMillen, overarching, viewed as the top guy. Brian Gutekunst was the only general manager to attend his private workout, his private pro day in Arizona. One general manager of the 32 in the National Football League were there. His name is Brian Gutekunst. He also visited Green Bay on a top 30 visit 2 weeks ago. Emeka Buka, Ohio State, a guy that had two 1,100-yard-plus seasons during his tenure as a Buckeye and obviously a national champion this past year, took a two-day top 30 visit here at Lambeau Field with the Packers. And Matthew Golden out of Texas, also a top 30 visit. According to the NFL mock draft database, so that kind of combines all the mock drafts that have been run, all three of those guys, top 33 picks on average. Abuka, number 33, Golden, number 20, and McMillen, number 11. So all three of those guys very much on the radar of the Green Bay Packers. As I mentioned, in past years, it seems like the Packers more do their due diligence in the middle rounds on that position. That's why you have a second-round pick on Christian Watson, a fourth-round pick on Romeo Doubs, a fifth-round pick on Dontavian Wicks. Those are really where Goody finds his diamonds in the rough, if you will. This year, of the six visits they spent on wide receivers, three of them expected to go in the first round, and maybe one of them to the Green Bay Packers. And there's obvious concern with Christian Watson going to be out a large chunk of this upcoming season. It's a way to fill it. Now, does this feel like the perfect year to draft a wide receiver in the first round? Maybe not in comparison to other years, but certainly Jordan Love could use the help as these guys continue to grow and emerge, and the tight ends continue to grow and emerge. But as Goody said the Monday after the season ended in that playoff loss to the eventual Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, it's time we start competing for championships around here. How do you start competing for championships offensively? Well, you give your $55 million per year quarterback some really good options to throw the football to. Guys that aren't leading the league in drops. Guys that are running the correct routes. And while there may be some growing pains with a top-end rookie wide receiver, it seems like a risk you should probably take since you stepped away from free agency at that position. No Davante Adams. Never even reached out to him. No Cooper Kupp. No DK Metcalf. And while those signings would have been flashy, I don't know if they'd be sexy. Drafting a 22, 21, 23-year-old wide receiver who's got a ton of tread left on the tires and a ton of upside? That'd be sexy. It's time for Brian Gutekunst to go the sexy route. And I think that's why this year, if especially Tet McMillen or Emeka Buka are there at pick 23, Joshy, those seem like the guys that make a ton of sense in green and gold come Thursday.
I'm having a hard time evaluating where exactly the NFL and Brian Gutekunst in specific view Emeka Buka. I think without doubt, if Tet McMillen is there at 23 with his combination of size, relative speed, and athleticism, they would be more than happy to make that pick at 23. I don't know if he's going to be there at 23. There seems to be some doubts. Either. There's been rumors also that Tet McMillen isn't viewed as positively in the NFL as he is with the online mock drafters and big board makers. The way I see it going and the way I've believed for a while here is they have their preferred option at edge. They have probably, let's say, two or three of those guys. And if they aren't there, they would then pivot to a Tet McMillen. If both those options are gone, they're going to look hard and fast at the potential of trading down and making another pick at you know, either late first or early second round, get more picks and kind of just do what they've been known to do. When they've got needs, they throw a bunch of picks at it, and whoever wins out, and you play the best players no matter really where their draft capital is.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Brian Gutekunst at the podium Probably wrapping up his press conference. We will get some audio later in the show to hear what Brian Gutekunst had to say and how he said it. But, of course, the Internet's a lovely place, man. We call Twitter a cesspool often. It is also very good for information in the moment. And that is what we're getting from Brian Gutekunst right now at Lambeau Field as he does his annual pre-draft press conference. You know, giving some thoughts on the upcoming week. Obviously, the nice part is for Brian Gutekunst, the draft stage is, I don't know, maybe 75 yards from his office window. So he can literally look down at whoever joins the Packers on Thursday, if they are in town, of course, as they walk across the stage and meet with the commissioner, Roger Goodell. So we will review some of the things that have come out from Brian Gutekunst and his pre-draft press conference. Also want to read some draft comparisons later this hour from past Packers draftees. Some of these made me laugh really hard because it's ugly. We know, obviously, Brian Gutekunst has not had a ton of success in the first round, and there are some obvious reasons why. So we will get to all of that. We will review some of what Brian Gutekunst had to say. Coming up next, this is ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance, live from Green Bay on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can't read my mind, I'm undefined. I'm just beginning, the pen's in my hand.
ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. I'm Alex Stroff with you live from Green Bay, the epicenter of sports the next couple of days as preparations continue at Lambeau Field, building up all of the draft festivities. The stage being finalized. So like I mentioned earlier, I took a lap around Lambeau Field a bit earlier, and you know, there's some parking lots that Lambeau owns. Houses used to be there, just at the end of like Stadium Drive off Morris Avenue, if you know Green Bay at all. And they have this big parking lot kind of behind Lambeau Field. It's where the visiting team often pulls up their bus, if you've ever been around to watch that. There is probably, and I'm not exaggerating, there is probably 500 vehicles parked there for various construction workers. I mean, that is how much things are going on in terms of preparation and construction here in Green Bay, you know, in the final hour. We are 3 days away from this becoming a complete party zone for football fans as the first round of the NFL draft, of course, on Thursday night. A reminder, ESPN Wisconsin has you covered all week long here on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance. Thursday night from 6 to midnight, we've got first round coverage. You can join me, Gabe Neitzel, Homer, Jason Wilde, special guests throughout from 6 to midnight as we lead you up to the Packers pick at number 23 and every pick in between. Thursday night, we're with you until about 10 o'clock, maybe a little bit later on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube channels and the ESPN Wisconsin app for rounds 2 and 3 as well. Imagine the Packers will pick a wide receiver somewhere in there. Will it be in the first round? We have yet to see or no, but we will see as we continue to count down to Thursday. I want to dive in a little bit to some of the things Brian Gutekunst has had to say so far and as he does his annual pre-draft press conference just behind me here at Lambeau Field. So the first one I want to bring up makes me laugh. Because I know Joshy will have a soliloquy on that. Josh DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn with me here on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. Brian Gutekunst, quote, "We don't use RAS score at all," end quote. RAS score, of course, the relative athletic score. For any of you that are on the internet, you likely saw the videos of me attempting to calculate my RAS score a few months back, which, by the way, was a 0.00, meaning I'm the least athletic human to ever potentially put his name in the hat for the NFL draft. Not shocking to anybody. But Brian Gutekunst has a trend, right? He drafts, and this is just his MO, which is fine. We can't tell him whether it's right or wrong. Just first-round picks haven't necessarily always panned out for Goody. He drafts really athletic individuals. It's just what he does, right? He likes athleticism. He likes versatility, right? You know, think about like a guy like Javon Bullard, where you can play him all over the defense. Think of Jordan Morgan, the first round pick last year. You can play him at guard and tackle. Elton Jenkins, same thing. He likes athletic, versatile athletes. It's just what he drafts. And typically, versatile athletic athletes have a high RAS score. So it has become a trend on social media that Goody like subscribes to the RAS score. And so he shut down that rumor today. I guess we should clarify. When we talk about RAS score, we don't mean Goody is staring at the chart and going, wow, that's a 9-6. I'm going to pick that guy. It's more so he just likes athletic individuals. It's as simple as that. So I don't know that anybody has ever claimed he uses the actual relative athletic score, which often makes the rounds on social media. But he shut down that rumor today, Joshy. And I imagine you have at least 2 cents on Goody's we don't use it at all sentence that he verbalized just moments ago at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I have many cents on it, as might come as a shock to no one at all.
Not at all.
Surprisingly, I've seen more Twitter users than I expected either flat out call Goody a liar or say he's somehow not telling the truth. I didn't think, and maybe it's on us and many of the people who are kind of explaining and talking about it to the audience, of I never once believed Goody used RAS. Do I believe he and the analytics team have a very similar formula that accounts for height and weight and determines a level of athleticism off of that? Yes, I 1,000,000% do. I don't think they're going to, I forget his, like Kent Lee, whatever his name is. I believe it's at MathBomb.
Yep.
They aren't going to his Twitter account and using his formula. But when you determine athleticism, there are really easy ways to sort of come together with a cumulative number based on previous participants in pro days and in the combine, and what that would mean when they run a certain time, they have certain agility scores, or they score a certain amount in terms of strength. I think he's probably sick of people kind of indicating they use RAS. No NFL team is using RAS. Not at all. I never thought anyone did. But it's a good way for us who aren't. I'd love an analytics department. I don't know what they would do here at ESPN Wisconsin for us in terms of calculating.
Hold on. Time out. Real quick, Josh. We can make the determination. We have an analytics department, and its name is Josh DiMaggio.
Yes, true. Yeah, that's about the extent of it.
That's the long and short of that. Yeah.
I don't feel like doing the math myself. So we use RAS, relative athletic score, to sort of determine which guys are guys that the Packers would target, because based on their draft history, we see similarities when it comes to they have height thresholds, they have weight thresholds, and they also seem to have some sort of threshold in determining how fast and how athletic you are. These are all things we can determine based on the way Brian Gutekunst had drafted over the past 8 seasons.
Totally. You're 100% right on that. And like, it's as simple as he likes athletes, right? I don't think we need to overcomplicate it. Now, the RAS score, to your point, is an easy way for us to digest it. No, go ahead.
Right. I also want to add to this. People have seemed to, because of the two past edge rushers and the athletic guys they have taken, Lucas Van Ness, pointing that one, Rashawn Gary is the other, who are extremely athletic but lacked production. Mm-hmm. Athleticism is the number one determiner of how good or great an athlete's going to be, and I don't want anyone to ever think otherwise. There are great athletes who don't end up being great football players, but if you look at the top 100 guys in the NFL, the vast majority of them are going to be mid to high eights all the way up to 9.9s and 10s. Those are just the guys who most often exceed. There are certainly some guys who break the trends, anomalies. But it seems to be there is a undercurrent of, well, I don't want this guy because he just seems like he's really athletic. And that is not the right way to do it. You also have to evaluate how good of a football player is he. Does his production or lack of production match what we saw? Do we think there's more there? How long will it take to develop? It is much more layered than, well, he's athletic. I would prefer you go with a guy who has a 6 relative athletic score because I think he's going to be better at playing football. That's not how it works.
I love it. Josh DiMaggio, Alex Strofe, Hunter Vaughn with you. It's ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. Mr. Irrelevant is the name of the show. We do three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, beginning at 12:30, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. And, of course, available in the all-new, brand-new ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download in your App Store, Google Play, or Apple App Store. Just search ESPN Wisconsin. Easy way to listen. Easy way to listen back. You can get our podcast feed in there in the ESPN Wisconsin Originals tab. The nice part about the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app, by the way, is you can organize it however you want. So for me, it's I have ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, Listen Live at the top. Then I have all the shows I like to listen to. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Wilde and Tausch, Jim, Matt, and Molly, of course, Kyle, Breast, and Nortman, which I produce typically from 2 to 5 each and every weekday here on ESPN Wisconsin. It's beautiful. If you haven't downloaded already, give it a shot. It's a really easy way to listen live and listen back to all of the ESPN Wisconsin content. And speaking of listening back, we are going to do that coming up next as Brian Gutekunst's pre-draft press conference has come to a close. What did Goody say about his expectations for whoever ends up being the Packers' first-round pick? It's interesting. We're going to listen to it together. Coming up next, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. Mr. Irrelevant with you right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
More Mr. Irrelevant coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Yeah, so we don't use RAS score at all. We don't have anything like that. We have we do have some analytic scores that our analytic people do on their own.
There you have it. From the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, it's Brian Gutekunst, just moments ago in his annual pre-draft press conference saying, hey, all you bozos on Twitter who stare at relative athletic score and accuse me of doing the same damn thing, you're wrong. Love that. It's Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. I'm Alex Strofe with you live from the Tundra Trio in the Shadow Lambeau Field in my hometown, Green Bay, Wisconsin, the epicenter of sports for the next week. Josh DiMaggio back at the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee is with me. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, is back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison running the show for us this afternoon as we will count you down all week long to draft time. We are with you Monday through Friday from 12 to 2 this week right here on ESPN Wisconsin and, of course, the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. So that Brian Gutekunst on the RAS score, that is so funny to me. Has anybody actually ever accused him, Hunter or Joshy? I don't think I've ever said, well, I know Goody's staring at the RAS score. I don't think that was that wasn't what happened here. But I wonder why he was asked that.
If you look at Matt Schneidman's tweet about that, he put it out there before we were able to get the audio because he's live tweeting the press conference. Many of the mentions and the quoted retweets on X/Twitter are people flat out calling him a liar. So through some way, people have gotten it convoluted on what RAS actually tells us versus like the Packers going to a Twitter account and looking at the, let's be honest here, the rather rudimentary webpage for relative athletic score.
Now, okay, let's keep it plain and simple. Then I want to get to something else from Brian Gutekunst that I found really interesting. They calculate their own things, right, at a much higher level than the RAS score. Is there some overlap? Certainly. I certainly believe there's some overlap.
There's a high degree of overlap. You can only measure athleticism so many ways. Like, correct. With the information available to them and to the person who does the relative athletic score, you can't really do much else. It's just sort of how do you weight it and how do you make the equation work and how does it give you a number that tells you how athletic someone is.
Is this something where for like the three of us, because we're around Jason Wilde and Rob Domofsky so much that like we just understand like, yeah, Goody's not doing that. Like an NFL team isn't just going to a Twitter account to do this, where anybody else, like they're not around it enough. Like I'm trying to defend the fans a little bit here. I'm just like, yeah, they're not going to know that because they're not as plugged in as like we are.
I guess the people that are calling Goody a liar about the relative athletic, this is so dumb. I love that we're talking about this. The people that are calling him a liar because he says they don't use RAS score, they're wrong. But is Goody, you know, maybe in the gray area of like, yes, I don't use RAS score. However, to Joshy's point, there are only so many ways to calculate athleticism. And it's very clear that guys Goody typically drafts have RAS scores of 8 and above. That is on a 10-point scale for those of you that are unfamiliar. It goes from 0.00, that would be Alex Strofe, to 10.0, which is Saquon Barkley, right? And
yes, the most athletic, it's literally a percentile is the way you can view it. So a guy who has an 8.57 will be 85.7% like the most athletic guy at that position. 100% is the most athletic quarterback ever, or cornerback, or running back ever.
So, I mean, yeah, do they value some, I don't know, NFL combine drills more than others? Yes, probably. But the RAS score just puts them all together, plops them in a chart, and gives you a score. So that's that. Really entertaining stuff from Brian Gutekunst there, the general manager of the Packers. I get a kick out of that. Okay, I want to get to this, though, because this is something, obviously, we've talked quite a bit about, and it plays into the idea of the Packers potentially drafting a wide receiver in the first round since 2002, when they did it with Javon Walker. You heard from Jason Wilde earlier saying that's when I was in diapers, and I probably would have still been in diapers or just out of diapers in 2002. I was born in 98. So, yeah, I was probably out of diapers at that point, but just recently out of diapers when Javon Walker was drafted by the Packers. Wide receiver is a position of need, right? You need an immediate impact guy for the Green Bay Packers. If that's the position, they go. Because Christian Watson, their best deep threat, is out at least until, I would guess, Thanksgiving. Tore his ACL at the end of December in that final regular season game of 2024. It was the second to final regular season game on the Packers schedule. That's when Watson tore his ACL, and recovery for that is typically somewhere between 10 months and a year. So we likely see him in November if we see him at all in 2025. So you need a deep threat, and you only have three receivers on the roster that you expect to be huge contributors. That's Jaden Reed, that's Dontavian Wicks, that's Romeo Doubs. So that's why the wide receiver discussion has picked up so much traction. Now, another position of need is, of course, edge rusher. Now, the Packers did address that in the first round of the NFL draft 2 years ago by drafting Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. But through 2 years, he's just a guy that hasn't contributed as much as maybe you'd hope a first-round pick should. Brian Gutekunst asked today, does he need a guy that can make an immediate impact with whatever he does with that pick, number 23 in the first round? Should the first round pick make an immediate impact? Here is Brian Gutekunst's response to that question.
Do you need your first round pick to contribute right away?
No. I mean, I think you'd love to, but I mean, I think you guys, a lot of you guys have been around here. You know, it's great when they do, but that's not always the case. I mean, this is the transition to the National Football League is tough. It's not always easy. A lot of times it's really determined by opportunity. You know what I mean? I mean, if you take a guy in a particular area that he's just going to have a lot more opportunity than somebody else, you know, and we try to stay away from that drafting for need. We try to just, you know, take the best player available if that's possible. But most of the time, a guy's impact in his rookie year comes down to the opportunities that he had more than anything.
And he's right about that. It's opportunity. And in past years, there either A, hasn't been the opportunity, or B, the production from the player to receive said opportunity. Think about last year. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, the offensive tackle he was drafted as and then competed for the right guard position with Sean Ryan, didn't really receive a ton of opportunity. Now, obviously, he battled some injuries during the regular season, split some snaps with Sean Ryan at right guard, but ultimately was their sixth offensive lineman when he was healthy. 2023, Lucas Van Ness. There was some opportunity. He wasn't a starter, but there also wasn't production. He didn't play a ton in his rookie season. 2022, two first-round picks, Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. Quay Walker got the opportunity. Devontae Wyatt, not as much, and production from both of those guys in their rookie seasons, not terrific. In 2021, it was Eric Stokes. He got the opportunity, and that was his best season in a Packers uniform, his rookie year, 2021. And, of course, the year prior, 2020, the first-round pick, Jordan Love. He was not active for a single game in his rookie year. So what passed and that answer tells you from Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, is, well, his first-round picks don't need to contribute. At least that's what he believes. And that's why he said no to Matt Schneidman when he asked him that question in his press conference earlier this hour. He doesn't need a first-round pick to contribute. But I would argue, Joshy and Hunter, if the Packers want to be viewed as a true championship contender, if they want to be viewed as a true Super Bowl team, they need contributors. They didn't get a ton in free agency. They got an offensive guard in Aaron Banks from San Francisco, and they got a depth corner in Nate Hobbs from Las Vegas. And I guess you could argue a kick returner, punt returner, and maybe a depth wide receiver in Mecole Hardman. That's it. That's all they got in free agency. They spent some money, but you didn't get really any sexy contributors that are going to put up the stats. A wide receiver, an edge rusher, the things you lacked last year when you lost in the first round to the Philadelphia Eagles. If the Packers want to be viewed as a true championship contender, I think they need to draft an immediate impact guy in the first round this year. Joshy, what say you?
I think the biggest reason they're not considered a Super Bowl contender right now is because their first round picks have not contributed enough in the past, what is it, let's say 3 to 4 years here.
Yeah.
I think best player available is more a lie than it is a truth. I think if you look at the positions the Packers seemingly always need and seemingly always fill, they always match up. They even, in recent years, have begun attacking the position by drafting 2 to 3 options in a single year.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that when you did your draft board of over 300 players, it just so happened after you traded up, traded down, moved all around in the draft, that those guys that you picked up and added to your roster all just seemed to seemingly fit needs directly and instantly? The lack of contribution from them is either they weren't ready or they suffered injuries or they weren't that good. That's really the only three things. Like, a first-round pick should contribute. That's plain and simple. It is your most valuable asset you have in the draft. And most typically, those guys are the best players, the best options available to you. Lucas Van Ness should have been a contributor last year. There is no reason. He didn't lack opportunity. If he lacked any opportunity, it was because he wasn't good enough. And there's better players on the roster behind him.
Well, Joshy, I don't think he lacked opportunity. They traded Preston Smith to the Steelers last year in order to give him more opportunity. So you're absolutely right.
I was talking about purely based off of snap count. Like, purely how much he was on the field, which was probably more than we even realized because he was so ineffective last year. But it was there for him to – that position was there for the taking. He did not take it. He did not seize the opportunity.
Fair way to put that. Now, here's the other thing. He was asked specifically about the first-round pick. But let's keep in mind, the Green Bay Packers, as it stands right now on April 21st, are still the youngest team in the NFL. They are still, average age, the youngest team in the NFL. So you still need to draft contributors. And while they haven't done so in the first round in past years, they have drafted immediate impact players in other rounds. Think about last year. Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, all drafted on the defensive side of the football last year. 2 years ago, think about the offensive players, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, immediate impact players that weren't drafted in the first round. So while he says no, he doesn't need his first round pick to be an immediate impact guy. You need to draft immediate impact players or else you're not getting over the hump, which this year was the freaking wild card round. And when you pay a quarterback, what you are paying, Jordan Love, $55 million a year. That's top three in quarterback contracts right now in the National Football League. You need immediate impact guys, whether that's in the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round, whatever it is, they need to make an impact, especially if, like Goody said at the end of last season, this team needs to start competing for championships. They need guys that are going to help them compete for championships. And what you picked up in free agency will help to a point, but it's definitely not going to get you over the hump when you look at the competition, A, around you in Detroit and Minnesota and across the NFC, Philadelphia, Washington, etc. You need immediate impact guys. You just do at this point to get over the hump and hopefully for the first time since the 2010 season, get back to the Super Bowl. 1 hour in the books, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, which is presented by American Family Insurance. I'm Alex Strofe, Mr. Relevant with you live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. As we count down, just 3 days away from the first round of the NFL Draft. Joshy DiMaggio, my co-pilot in this experience on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, and Hunter Vaughn running the show for us this afternoon. Still to come in the 1 o'clock hour, we've got some draft comparisons to talk about. Draft grades don't mean anything. Brian Gutekunst said that too. We'll hear more from Goody in the 1 o'clock hour. But, I mean, I am fascinated by some of the draft comparisons that former Packers draft picks have received. So we will run through those coming up in just a bit. And hopefully Jason Wilde is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. And as we always do, we'll wrap up the show with what we learned. Hang with us as we lead you up to Kyle Bruston-Ortman. It's Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by AmFam, right here from the Tundra Trio in Green Bay.
The countdown to the NFL draft in Green Bay is on. This is Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Stroff, powered by ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Broadcasting live from the shadow of Lambeau Field at the Tundra Trio. Here's Alex Stroff.
Yeah, away we go. Hour number two, Mr. Irrelevant with the ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance. I'm Alex Stroff, live in beautiful Green Bay at the Tundra Trio, just outside of Lambeau Field, as we continue to prepare for what's coming this week, man. The epicenter of sports, I keep calling it, because it's fascinating. So we recently learned, we had Josh Albrecht on from Visit Milwaukee a couple weeks ago on Mr. Irrelevant, and Joshie DiMaggio, who's with me, and myself, we were talking about, you know, how the excitement, statewide excitement, people staying in Milwaukee and Madison, all over the state for the NFL draft. This is actually the second time the NFL draft's been hosted in the state of Wisconsin. It was held at what is now the Hilton Hotel in downtown Milwaukee back in 1939 or 1938. I don't remember which year exactly. At the end of the 1930s. So this is the second time it's been hosted in the state of Wisconsin. But think about how it's evolved into the spectacle it is, right? When they hosted the draft there, it was just every general manager and owner in a room, you know, smoking cigars likely, or cigarettes at that point probably, and discussing, you know, who they want to pick. And it was just, you know, you went around the table and that was the draft. And now it's this huge spectacle where Visit Green Bay has, or Discover Green Bay has announced they're expecting somewhere between 250 and 300,000 people at the NFL draft over the course of the 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to come watch people walk into a stage, talk into a microphone, and then walk off the stage. I mean, it's incredible what it has evolved into on top of being a huge party. It was announced Brad Paisley will perform the post-draft concert, which is free to attend for any country music fans here in Green Bay. I mean, it is huge now. So pretty neat to see what it's evolved into and what will take place here in Green Bay in just a couple of days. Brian Gutekunst just wrapped up his pre-draft press conference, which he holds every year a couple days before the NFL draft. And he spoke on something I often talk about this time of year, which is draft grades. So once a team drafts a prospect, you have all the pundits and the writers and the bloggers and the tweeters saying, hey, I think this was a B-plus pick. Or I think this was a C-minus pick. Or I think this was an F pick in the first round. You reached. You know, you shouldn't have drafted that guy there. And while we know it's bananas to evaluate something that hasn't even played out yet, it just always gets on my nerves without fail every year when I see people say, oh, I grade that a C plus draft from the Green Bay. You don't know anything. You don't know how they're going to fit into the offense or the defense. You don't know how they're going to fit into that scheme. You don't know how they're going to evolve over a couple of years. If you're grading the 2020 draft for the Packers in 2025, I'm good with that. I'm happy you give that a grade. But to do it just days after or hours after a pick is made and say, ah, that's a C+. It's crazy. It's like grading homework before you give out the homework. It doesn't make any sense. So I hate that. So does Brian Gutekunst. Good to learn we're on the same page there. Here's Goody earlier today.
I don't care about that stuff. I mean, to me, it's about our football team and the players that we take. Do they help our football team succeed? You know, in the National Football League, these guys are, you know, moving around so much. It's about the time that you're here with us. Do you impact our football team? You know what I mean? So, the opportunities they get and where they get drafted and the different things that there's so many variables there. I think that's it's kind of a fool's errand to kind of try to grade those things.
I think something interesting I'm noticing from listening to Brian Gutekunst from earlier today is the amount of time he's used the word opportunity. And obviously opportunity is everything, right? If you're not on the field, it's hard for you to contribute, but he's using the word opportunity a lot, which makes me think the positions of needs that we as fans have highlighted the last couple of months, wide receiver, edge rusher, cornerback, those might be positions he's heavily targeting. And I know he still says it's the best player available, which may be the case, right? They might draft an offensive tackle or an offensive guard on Thursday night. They might, like they did last year. But for him to continually use the word opportunity is interesting to me. But he's right, right? I mean, if you don't have the opportunity to even see the player play in the new jersey that they are going to wear, it's really hard to grade how good of a pick it is. So that's always gotten on my nerves. But to hear from Goody and his use of the word opportunity is sticking out to me. Joshy, I don't know if you feel the same way, but we've heard now, I think it's three different audio clips from Brian Gutekunst's press conference, and the word opportunity has been used in each and every one of them. And I get why, right? Opportunity equals production, ultimately. Your opportunity, no pun intended, to be productive. But he's using that word more than I feel like he has in past years, which makes me think maybe he is looking at some of the holes on the roster and goes, yeah, this is our week to fill them. Joshy, you feel the same way?
I think to a degree, and I think grading drafts immediately after it happened is absolutely foolish, but there is a need for content around the draft. People will click on it and will look at it. I do think we can fairly grade the 2021 draft, the 2020 draft. I think you could probably even argue the 2022 draft. You could come up with a sort of grade and how they've done. Now, that doesn't say and determine forever this player is going to be a C- at the place he was drafted at. But at some point, after you're on an NFL roster for long enough, that does matter. Either you become good enough to push people ahead of you out of the way and earn your opportunity, or you don't. And there are certain situations where a player might be better suited for a different system, a different style of play. But either that guy you used your asset on becomes a contributor within a couple years and is either a starter or a top-level replacement, or you made a mistake. It's pretty simple when you look at it that way, but any sort of determining, like Jordan, to do a Jordan Morgan grade would be foolish. We didn't see him play enough. Marshawn Lloyd didn't see him play enough.
But there is enough indication
to tell me, I'm pretty sure I know what Quay Walker is. I'm pretty sure I know what Devontae Wyatt is. I've got a pretty good idea of who Jaden Reed is at this point. Like, there are certain things we can start to fill in and determine, was this guy worth the pick you made, or did you make a mistake in your evaluation?
Mm-hmm. I think that's well said. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbliss talk and text line. Liz is more with Carbliss. You can get into the show. 844-770-ESPN, 844-770-3776. Joe in Green Bay says, guys, it's easy to see. We had Bizarro Goody at the podium today. Bizarro Goody. Yes, they need first-round picks to be an impact. And, oh, yes, he uses relative athletic score. That from Joe in Green Bay on the Carbliss talk and text line. To Joshy's point, opportunity is a key word because these are young players that are plugging into an NFL system. But also, this is the youngest team in the NFL. You need your young guys to contribute. It's as simple as that, especially if you want to be competing for championships, which is the standard where I am. What's the nickname of Green Bay? Title Town. The last time the Packers have even had an opportunity to win a title was 15 years ago, 2010, when they ultimately won Super Bowl 45 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers winning that Super Bowl. I actually drove on Mike McCarthy Way today. Of course, that's the tradition here in Green Bay. If you're the head coach of the Packers, you win a Super Bowl, you get a street named after you. And I believe it was Potts Boulevard or Potts Avenue that they took a section of and renamed it Mike McCarthy Way. So we'll see. But you need your guys to contribute. A big talking point, especially this week, is what in the world is going to happen with Jair Alexander. The curious case of Jair Alexander. We dive into that coming up next. It's Mr. Relevant on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance.
Mr. Irrelevant is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Monday edition, Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, which is presented by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Go to amfam.com. Alex Stroff with you from the shadow of Lambeau Field. I am up in Green Bay here all week. as we count down to the NFL draft here in Green Bay, the 2025 NFL draft hosted by the Green Bay Packers. Joshy DiMaggio is back at the Gruberl offices, One Call That Cell Studio at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Hunter Vaughn holding it down at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Before we get to the curious case of Jair Alexander, which I want to dive into here in just a bit, just a little pulse test. I want to see how everybody's doing in our respective cities since we've got like the whole state covered today. Joshy DiMaggio, scale of 1 to 10. How are you doing today, truly?
I'm hardly ever a 10 out of 10. I'm a 9 out of 10. I'm fired up for the draft. I'm fired up to be talking about the draft as in-depth as we are and how it relates to the Packers. So, I mean, this is like a Super Bowl week for me in terms of weeks I enjoy the most. I enjoy the content around and I enjoy the event of.
Yeah, Josh, for those that don't know, you're kind of a nerd about it. I mean, actually, you're not even kind of a nerd. You are a nerd
full-fledged.
When it comes to the NFL draft. A couple weeks ago on Mr. Irrelevant, and you can find that wherever you get your podcast because I think it's timeless, Joshy gave us like a 10-minute rundown of everything you needed to know about the NFL draft, from the best position groups to some stats. I mean, it was just like this beautiful soliloquy that Joshy gave us because he's a legitimate dork about the NFL draft. So I know he's fired up. He is going to be live in Green Bay with me coming up on Thursday for the NFL draft, which I'm very much looking forward to as we count you down to the NFL draft and pick 23 for the Green Bay Packers. Let's go to the Everlight Solar Studio. Hunter Vaughn, a Dallas Cowboys fan, for those of you not in the loop on that. How are you doing? Scale of 1 to 10.
I'm at a 10 right now. I'm really excited, even though Jerry Jones makes me nervous, and he could do just about anything coming for the draft, but I'm going to be up there working on some of our video stuff for the live stream that we're going to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm super excited for this, and I can't wait. Like, I'm just like, okay, can it just be Thursday night already? Like, I'm just ready to go. Let's get going. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm sort of getting the bubble guts. And not that I'm actually nervous, but like just the anticipation is making me like a little anxious. It's like not bad anticipation. It's just like I'm anxious for this to happen and for it to finally be in Green Bay and just to be involved at any level, really.
Okay, so I'm really happy to hear both of you are as excited as I am. And Josh, I know you were making fun of me earlier because I posted a picture of myself on Twitter prior to the show.
A glamour shot.
And on Instagram. Yeah, it was a glamour shot. I posed for it, with the cool backdrop I've got behind me with Lambeau Field. I also made, Josh, I don't know, you don't have a Facebook, do you?
No.
So I made a little bit of a sappy Facebook post over the weekend to promote everything we're doing up here. Hunter, I think you liked it. I think you saw it. I will read it to you. Not verbatim, but I'll read it to you.
Hunter, if you've got some emotional music here, please play that under it. I want to get the full sap.
Oh, I think I can find something quick.
Okay, I can wait for you if you don't mind.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Because it is a little sappy, especially the first line, Joshy. And I want to give you the opportunity to make fun of me. Because as I've said a few times, I grew up in Green Bay, right? This is my hometown. I grew up on the east side of Green Bay. I went to Martin Elementary School. I went to Edison Middle School. All of my first jobs and my first sports media jobs were in Green Bay, in the Green Bay area. I wrote for multiple newspapers in the suburbs of Green Bay. Denmark, Brilliant, Wrightstown, Kakana are all newspapers I freelanced for during my high school and college careers. So, like, this is home to me. And to have what is the biggest event in sports here this week is really cool. And I duped our bosses into letting me be here all week. So obviously I get some family time. I get to see some friends from middle school and high school this week, that I haven't seen in a while because everybody's home for this huge event. So Hunter, are you ready with your emotional music so I can read my sappy Facebook post before we get to Jair Alexander?
Well, the first one I went to the play, and get going had somebody like screaming in it. So I struck out the first time. We're going to just try the second one. And I just pray that this works okay at this point.
I hope somebody's screaming.
Before you deliver it, I want to predict your first line has something to do with who would have thought a kid from Green Bay would end up here or something along those lines that is somewhat self-congratulatory, but also trying to make it not just about you.
We're about to find out. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the stuff.
Yes!
That's the stuff right there. Alex Strofe, 2 days ago on Facebook. Dream come true this week. as the NFL draft hits my hometown. I'll be with you all week live from Green Bay on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, YouTube, and the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. The Mr. Irrelevant crew has you each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Plus, I have the ridiculously cool opportunity to host our NFL draft coverage on Thursday and Friday, beginning at 6 p.m. Appreciative of my teammates at Good Karma Brands for the trust and opportunity to take in this once-in-a-lifetime event. There you go. That's it. Short and sweet.
I expected worse, honestly. I think that was perfectly normal and met the moment. It is sappy. It is very you. But it wasn't, I expected more humble bragging involved in there. Because I do think you approach it the right way. I wouldn't make a post like that myself. It fits your personality better, but you did a good job promoting. I would have preferred a specific shout out to Hunter and myself. But we can work on that in the future.
Sure. Yeah, we can work on that. I did shout out the Mr. Irrelevant crew, which is implied.
Too vague.
It'd be one thing if that was Jason posting it about the Wildy and Tausch crew, because people know what that show crew is. Like, I love this show, but we're not that big yet. So I think you got to go individually.
Also, our names aren't in it.
True.
But also our names aren't in it. Wildy and Tausch implies it will be Wildy and Tausch. I would just say this, though. Isn't that like a good level of curiosity? What is the Mr. Relevant crew? Who is the Mr. Relevant crew? Guess I got to tune in to find out. I think that was the right way to go about it.
When it comes to the internet, you can't get people to watch 30-second videos you sent them. So expecting people to investigate other than just being like, maybe I'll tune in and figure out who these guys are. Maybe I won't. You gotta spoon feed. Yeah. That's the way I treat everything that happens on the internet.
I appreciate everybody that has decided we are relevant enough. No pun intended. Was intended, actually. Yeah. Relevant enough to stick with us, whether you're listening to 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. All three of those stations on YouTube. Just search ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, Daily Dodge TV, or the ESPN Wisconsin app. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Hunter, go ahead. Final thought on that.
I was just going to say that the only time people are actually curious on the internet is if it's Wikipedia pages and you start going hyperlinks. So that's the only time where I think you can try and play off of somebody's curiosity. Other than that, you got to spoon feed it.
Look up the Fail Mary Wikipedia page. Go to Inner Touchdownception.
We know.
Alex Stroph, by the way, apparently dubbed the term Inner Touchdownception. Speaking of half of that, interceptions. Jair Alexander has had a few in his Green Bay Packers career. What a transition that was. I'm such a pro. Jair Alexander still on the Packers roster as it stands here on Monday of NFL Draft Week. I don't know if that's what we were anticipating when the season ended and Jair Alexander refused to speak with the media, but he pretty much told the media as he was declining their interview requests everything we needed to know. He said, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. I got nothing to say. Okay, Jair, who has missed as many games as he's played the last several seasons. Brian Gutekunst asked today during his press conference, what's going on with Jair Alexander? We will play the back and forth with the reporter and Brian Gutekunst. Here is that from earlier this afternoon.
Would you still like to have a resolution on Jair before Thursday? And if you don't trade him before or during the draft, are you just going to keep him on the team for next season?
Yeah, we'll work through that. I don't really have any updates on Jair. He's obviously on our roster right now. We'll see how the draft goes and then see where we are at that point.
Short and sweet. He's on our roster right now. We'll see how the draft goes, and then we'll figure it out. So that sounds to me like there's not going to be a resolution prior to the draft. Now, maybe he's saying in the draft there could be some sort of package where Jair Alexander is sent out to acquire more picks, because we all know Brian Gutekunst loves him some picks. And the Packers only with 8 right now, which would be, I would imagine, I don't know off the top of my head, but I would imagine on the lower end of Brian Gutekunst's career as the general manager. Typically, it feels like he's got 10, 11, 12 picks in the NFL draft, only scheduled with 8 right now. So is there a possibility, of course, that Jair Alexander could be shipped out during the draft in exchange for additional compensation, additional picks? in this year's NFL draft? Yes, but that sounds more to me like Jair Alexander will be on the roster through the draft, and then they will see how many cornerbacks they pick up, if they pick up cornerbacks in higher rounds and have higher expectations for their, something we talked about earlier, immediate impact. That's how it looks to me. Joshy, when you hear Goody's comments on Jair, what do you make of him?
I just don't know why we're still playing this game with Jair. I don't know really what significance any of the draft has to do with anything. It feels like if anything were to happen, it would have to be some sort of injury in training camp where a team got desperate and was looking for an option. The signals are all out there. Everyone knows Jair's on the trading block. Everyone knows what he would cost to acquire him, and no team has deemed that as something they want to do. So holding out here and carrying out this process, to me, I haven't been able to make a ton of sense of it other than just like stubbornness of, we think this player has value at this price still, despite the price not being the price we want to play. Somebody out there should, I guess, is the way to frame that. It's just bizarre that this is still going on to me.
The important thing to keep in mind with the Jair situation is, as I mentioned, right? Like, we've all heard the phrase a million times, no matter what you do. If you work, you know, in an office, if you work in construction, if you work in sports radio, if you're a professional football player, the best ability is availability. And Jair Alexander, frankly, just hasn't been available. He just hasn't been the last several seasons. So why in the world would a team trade a draft pick, and it would likely be a low-end draft pick, right? Sixth round pick probably tops, to in exchange for a cornerback who still has a top five, top six cornerback salary in the NFL despite not playing a lot of games the last several years? Well, a change of scenery, A, would be good for Jair, I think. Does that necessarily mean his body would hold up? And does that mean he would play to the level that his contract indicates he should play to? Probably not. That's just where we're at in the Jair Alexander saga. He's a great player, and he's really, really good when he's on the field and healthy. But the issue is he hasn't been on the field and healthy. He just hasn't been. He played 10 snaps against Chicago and really did not play after that in the regular season, the postseason for the Packers this past year. So I think the Packers are over it, because they just haven't gotten the availability and the ROI, the return on investment, that they had anticipated or wanted or expected. I just don't see a team trading a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick for Jair, given the contract and the baggage. If it was just the baggage and you could come up with your own contract, I think certainly he'd get some interest. But where it stands right now, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me for any team to go, yeah, we'll give you a six-round pick. We'll give up a draft pick, take on that contract, and a guy who was disgruntled openly, sometimes a distraction, and also a top-five paid cornerback in the league. It just doesn't make sense to me. So I would anticipate he will just be released at some point, and that might not be for several weeks. But I would guess no team in the draft is going to go, oh, darn it, we didn't get the corner we wanted. I guess we should bring in Jair Alexander from Green Bay now, who just hasn't played enough the last several years. That's something I find hard to believe.
It feels like a game of chicken, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe some team gets desperate before the Packers actually make the decision to cut him. Because the way his contract is like, they can carry this out for a lot longer than you would originally anticipate. I don't know the exact date. I know it is like well into the offseason program. So what exactly is going to be the tipping point of, we think it's better to just cut this guy versus playing this game? Because if you listen to Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Telsch earlier today, go to the ESPN Wisconsin app, download it, click around, have some fun in there, and listen to his appearance. He said, basically, the Packers haven't even entertained the idea of a pay cut, and Jair's camp is totally unwilling to do it, which you understand. If I can still play on $17.5 million, I'm going to. Why would he agree to a pay cut just so he could end? Like, his next contract isn't going to be as big as the one he has. So him to go, no, I would like to take a pay cut, no one's doing that. I'm not doing that. Are you going to start doing that, Strophy?
Nope. Yeah. No, I am not. No. As much as I love my job, Joshy.
Yeah, no.
No.
We got bills to pay.
Got bills to pay, baby. I got a lavish lifestyle to live, baby. Yeah. Come on now. What are we talking about here?
How can I have libations with a pay cut?
Yeah, right. What kind of libations will I be drinking? Door County Distillery, baby, which we will talk about a bit later and at 1:45 or so. But coming up next, this is something I've been looking forward to all weekend. I'm a nerd also. I called Joshy a nerd earlier this segment. I'm also a nerd. I went back in the archives. I found some of the, I would say, most relevant Brian Gutekunst selected draft picks in his history as the Packers GM. And I read their player comparisons. I told you I hate draft grades. Something I do love, though, is the draft experts that analyze, watch film, and we go, this guy reminds me of this guy. And they put it out on paper. NFL.com does it every year. Pretty much every, like, yeah, anybody that's in probably the top 150 draft picks or graded as such has a draft comparison. So I am super, super excited to get Joshy and Hunter's reaction on some of the most notable draft picks under Brian Gutekunst and their player comparisons. Some of them are going to make you throw up. Some of them are going to make you cry. Some of them are going to make you laugh hysterically. We dive into Packers draft pick comparisons from the year they were drafted. Coming up next, it's Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, presented by American Family Insurance, live from Green Bay.
More Mr. Irrelevant coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Well done, my producer, Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn. As we are going to dive into some player comparisons here on Draft Week, one of our Draft Week-themed segments of the many we will do this week. On ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week, Mr. Irrelevant, presented by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Alex Strofe with you live from Green Bay. Joshy DiMaggio in Milwaukee. Hunter Vaughn in Madison. On ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN Wisconsin app. If you haven't already, make sure you download that, man. I mean, it is new. It is improved. It is your best way to consume all of our shows across ESPN Wisconsin, the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. So, guys, I went in the archives from some notable Brian Gutekunst draft picks, and I dug up their player comparisons, the players that were already in the league that they were compared to when they were drafted. And boy, there are some doozies in here. So Hunter, let's fire the music. I want to get your guys' reaction on some of these draft comparisons that made me giggle. Here's the first one, and maybe the most accurate one of my entire list. Tucker Kraft. Okay? South Dakota legend. Comes over to Green Bay. Smash mouth, hit you in the face, tight end.
Can we guess these before you give them?
Yeah, but you're going to miss all of them. So actually, I love that idea. Hunter, what would your guess be?
I'm going to go Jason Witten.
Okay. I like that. Jason Witten for Tucker Kraft. Joshy, any guesses on who Tucker Kraft was compared to?
Well, the correct one and the one it should have always been is George Kittle, since they are very similar players.
Yes, I would agree. I think that would be the active comparison is George Kittle in terms of like...
Oh, were these active?
No. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, he is active, but let me rephrase. In terms of if you were to compare him today after several seasons in the NFL, I think you would compare him to George Kittle. The tight end he is compared to is active. He is the tight end of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pat Freiermuth was the Tucker Kraft comparison on NFL.com.
Interesting.
I'd be disappointed if the player we got at Tucker Kraft was Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, tend to agree.
Would you have felt that way at the time, though, when he was selected?
Not for where he was drafted, but in terms of like top-level expectations, you would hope he would be... Freiermuth is fine, decent, and a third-round pick, you'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good value for the production you got, but I want more than that. I want George Kittle, you know?
This one was bizarre to me. Because they don't even play the same position. Quay Walker, who was a first-round pick back in 2021 for Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers, he was, I will give you this hint before you guess. His draft comparison was a guy who is best known as playing with the Green Bay Packers.
I'm just going to go Clay Matthews, but that feels super wrong.
Clay Matthews is your guess.
That honestly was going to be mine with the hint you gave, and then I was thinking maybe like a safety, maybe. They thought he was a more of a tweener type of guy. I don't know. Clay Matthews was my guess.
They compared him to an outside linebacker and a defensive dropped. Kabir Bajapiamila was Quay Walker's comparison, which really doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, did KGB play inside in college? I don't remember.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he was exclusively an outside.
Hand in the dirt type guy. So I didn't really understand that one at all. Let's go back to the offense and maybe some that will make you sad. I've got two guys that are no longer on the Packers roster. Let's start with a former second-round pick out of Boston College. A running back who is now a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. A.J. Dillon. Any guesses? A.J. Dillon.
I mean, it's got to be Brandon Jacobs, right?
Good guess.
That is a remarkably good guess. Is this comp to an active player or an old player, the one they made?
He is an active player.
Let's go with James Conner.
Nailed it, Joshy. James Conner was the A.J. Dillon comparison, and boy, was that wrong.
That was between him and Najee Harris, like bigger, bruising.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean.
And Conner's still doing it at a high level in Arizona, man.
Yeah, he's still really good.
Conner is still a true RB1, man. Like, he is still a really productive running back in his second stop now down in Arizona. Here's This might take the cake. Jordan Love's is the funniest one, but this is probably the worst one I have on my list. I have a bunch more, and maybe we can get to some of these later in the week. Amari Rodgers, the former third-round pick wide receiver out of Clemson. Amari Rodgers, who is his NFL comp? This player is also still active.
Oh. Man.
So there's a couple layers to this because I believe – sort of the consensus on Amari Rodgers was he was well overdrafted. Like, Goody took him way higher than he should have.
Correct.
I'm trying to think, like, a small guy. Not the kid from Purdue. He wasn't in the NFL, was he, when Amari Rodgers was drafted?
No, not yet.
I think
Rondell
they might
Moore.
Have been the same year.
If they weren't the same year, it was like a year apart.
Yeah.
You
sound stumped.
Cooper Kupp. I don't know, man.
Fun guess. You got the initials correct, Hunter. It is a CK. Christian Kirk was the Amari Rodgers comparison.
Huh.
Is right. All right, last thing for you guys before we get to What We Learned presented by Door County Distillery coming up next. Jordan Love, the first-round pick in 2020, is the last comparison I have here. This quarterback is no longer active.
Eli Manning.
Okay, Eli Manning is Hunter's guess for Jordan Love.
So his story coming out was a little inaccurate, had some pretty high highs. How long ago did this player last play in the NFL?
I don't like that Josh asks more questions to try and narrow it down.
Yeah, he's not playing the same game you are, Hunter. You're playing a true shoot-from-the-hip game. Josh, he wants to get these right. And, I mean, I never set the boundaries, so – it's fine. I would say within the last 3 years, this guy hung him up.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Not Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I believe a former teammate of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And your story on really high highs is accurate because he made it to an AFC championship game, and the punter on his team was Brad Nortman. Jordan Love's NFL comparison was Blake Bortles. which does not make me feel good. Retrospectively, does not make me feel very good about that selection. Which, by the way, I was super high on Jordan Love. We played the audio the other week on KBN of my live reaction to the Packers drafting Jordan Love. I was very happy about it. Blake Bortles, Jordan Love's NFL comparison. So those are some of the highlights of Brian Gutekunst's draftees and when they were drafted, the players that they were compared to. By experts on who they reminded him of. Jordan Love to Blake Bortles and Amari Rodgers to Christian Kirk made me laugh. Some other highlights just quickly. Josh Jacobs was obviously drafted by the Raiders. He was compared to Sony Michel. Would say he's been a little bit better, just no ring like Sony Michel has a few of. just a little bit better. Sony Michel had a nice career, though. No denying that, obviously.
He had a good Super Bowl run. They probably don't win without him, but then he did pretty much nothing after that, if my memory serves me correct.
Jaden Reed was compared to a guy by the name of Greg Ward, who had a career total of 768
Cleveland
receiving
Browns.
Yards. Yeah. So there you go. There are some highlights. All right, we wrap up day one of ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. Mr. Irrelevant with you, presented by American Family Insurance. Coming up next with What We Learned. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. We will play a little What We Learned, presented by Door County Distillery. Coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for What We Learn on Mr. Irrelevant, which is presented by my awesome friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally just north of where I am in beautiful Door County. Door County Distillery located in Carlsville. If you're coming up this way this week for the draft happening here in Green Bay, if you got some time, you should stop by. Do the tour, do the tastings, exclusive product. They've got everything, by the way, all over the state of Wisconsin, whether you're where I am in Green Bay, where Joshie is in Milwaukee, where Hunter is in Madison. They've got my favorite, the bourbon. They've got the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey. They've got, of course, with Door County Cherries, the cherry brandy to mix up in your old fashions. Everything they do it best. Check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com, to find the retailer nearest you. All right. What I learned is this. I moved at the end of last week and over the weekend, and they should not rent rental trucks out to anybody, man. Like, I'm driving a rental truck, right? One of the big box trucks that you put all your stuff in the back of, right, with the gate, and you close it. Man, those things are huge, Joshy. I should not be trusted to drive one of those when, in reality, I drive a Ford Focus day-to-day. Driving a rental truck is like driving four Ford Focuses at the same time. Now, I made it safely. I didn't crash into anything. I only hit the rumble strips a few times. But it's crazy to me you don't need, like, a special license to drive one of those. That's just my take, Joshy.
Yeah. I mean, all you're doing is getting under the length requirement of what would require a CDL license. I, for a profession, drove a box truck for a couple years in one of the many jobs that I've worked in. And I've also driven for moving a lot, too. It's nerve-wracking. I go way slower than usually I would in a normal car, but I've often thought, like, when you see a U-Haul, like, I want to get past this person and get away from them as soon as possible because I have no idea who's operating that vehicle.
Joshy, 30 seconds. What'd you learn?
I learned that the Milwaukee Brewers will be debuting the Brewers Hot Dog Club. It is just $59.99, and it gets you an exclusive Hot Dog Club trucker hat, members-only experience, and top recognition for the most hot dogs redeemed. You get a free hot dog for every Brewers game you attend, and it will be uploaded directly to your MLB app for every game. So if you're there, you show them your little app, you get a free dog.
That is awesome. I'm going to sign up as soon as we are done here because I attend enough Brewers games where that will be worth my time. Thank you for telling me that. Now I learned something new that I need to get in on. Hunter, 30 seconds. What'd you learn?
When you're not feeling well and your wife tells you to go see a doctor, go see a doctor. Was struggling with a cough and a little bit of a lost voice last week. Just thought I'd get over it. Finally on Friday, went to urgent care. Turns out I had early stages of pneumonia. So now,
hey Hunter,
can
I just get?
It's a good time.
I'm glad to hear you're getting better. Number one, you're Richard for going into an office of people with a cough. Number two, though, you could have just stopped it. You need to listen to your wife. That's something I've learned about you. You just need to listen more.
Yeah, and it's been like 4 days now of I told you so. I told you that you needed to do that. I'm like, yep, I know.
That's a heck of a way to walk it off. That does it for day one of ESPN Wisconsin Draft Week. We are back with you tomorrow beginning at noon right here at the Tundra Trio in Green Bay, counting down to the Packers pick on Thursday. My guys, Kyle Bruston-Ortman, coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.